Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We hear a lot about the effort to lure entrepreneurs to the Milwaukee area and the challenges that effort faces.
But while the region works to combat issues ranging from image to access to capital, there are real success stories already at work here.
The cover story in this month's Milwaukee Magazine spotlights a dozen examples of what it describes as visionaries. Writer John Ann Willow authored the piece, and she's with us in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
As you took on this story, how did you see entrepreneurship as different today from, you know, the era in which Milwaukee was first coming into its own? We have this vision of what entrepreneurs are, but the story that you wrote really kind of presents a different vision of it.
Well, I think historically in Milwaukee, especially, we think of the great entrepreneurs as the great captains of industry, the beer barons, the lumber barons, the construction magnates. And that was definitely a form of frontier entrepreneurialism without which we wouldn't have a city. In modern times, I think we look at entrepreneurs and we think of them as people who are looking to create high-tech, high-growth, disruptive innovation-oriented, buzzword companies. We think of those as things that people want to invest in and make a return on. And that sort of defines entrepreneurialism. In reality, my observation, my experience with talking to entrepreneurs in Milwaukee was that entrepreneurialism is really a spirit that's inside a person. It's a kind of drive to make someone go out on their own to try and pursue their own dream. Sometimes, and some of the companies we talk to, their dream is to invent something innovative and disruptive and sell it to someone larger and make a big profit. But for a lot of people, the dream is more personal, like the gentleman from Rishi Tea. They loved tea. They wanted to improve the way America understood and consumed tea, and they've dedicated their whole lives to it. They've got a new 500,000-square-foot facility down in the Menominee Valley. It's absolutely beautiful. They haven't even grown into half of it yet, and they're in it for the long haul because that's their passion.
So what really distinguishes the 12 entrepreneurs, or in some cases groups of entrepreneurs that you focus this article on, is just the fact that that they want to do what they do on their own, if you will.
Yes, very much. That spirit of independence was absolutely present in all 12 of the companies that I interviewed. But it manifested in such different and interesting ways. There were a few people who found their opportunity because other doors had closed. And they realized that they'd been toiling in organizations and that the problem wasn't that they weren't good. It was that it wasn't a good fit. So they went to build a different culture, a different model, one where they felt that they could do better and maybe provide a better environment and do business in a different way.
So not all of these entrepreneurs are even homegrown. We've heard about the difficulty that the Milwaukee area sometimes has in attracting people to come here and start a business. But you do write about several people, including some who have started a water-related business who did just that.
Yeah. Sunid and Ahmed were originally from Canada. They had relocated to the West Coast. One of them, Ahmed, was they met when they were working at Microsoft. One of them was working on Xbox and one of them was working on Windows 7. They both had six-figure incomes, both young guys. And they had very real, very personal concerns about the water supply. And they had an idea for how they could use technology to improve water quality in communities. They got connected to our water council's entrepreneurial program, the incubator program called The Brew, and they were accepted into the program. And when they got here, they were so impressed with the level of support, the quality of available employees. They're educated, they're hardworking. We've got the School of Freshwater Sciences right here at UWM. And they have no intention of leaving now. And originally, they were just here for the incubator.
Over, perhaps way over on the other side of the coin, if I can mix a metaphor, is Julie Kaufman and Fixed Developments, which is very much more a homegrown sort of company, doing some really Milwaukee-specific things.
Exactly. Julie's a true social entrepreneur. In addition to Fixed Development, which developed the Clock Shadow Building, which is a green building and was a community-funded project that's doing very, very well down in Walker's Point. She's also instrumental in a micro-investment group called Fund Milwaukee that anyone can join, anyone with the power to invest up to as little as $1,000, not even at a shot, but a total of $1,000. It's a group investment forum, and she was very involved in putting that together along with a lot of really hardworking people in the community. And that's just become her whole life focus. And she quit a six-figure job when she was pregnant with her second child to start this. She was just driven from within.
We've talked about a tea company. We've talked about a water-based company. We've talked about a development company. Where does Soch fit in?
Soch is a service-based company. They started, way back in the late 90s doing web development. It was Jeanette and Michelle working together at a small web development firm. Michelle was actually the receptionist, and Jeanette was a technical writer. And because they were such a small crew, they were all learning to write HTML in 1996 when we're just starting to put up web pages. And they said, hey, you know, we can do this better. We don't need to charge $25,000 for four HTML pages. We can serve small businesses. Over the years, their model evolved into a social media delivery company. And now they serve clients like Briggs & Stratton, Johnsonville Brats. I mean, they've got some really big clients. And I think they've got like between 15 and 20 full-time employees and just really great offices downtown. They're pursuing their passion. They've been able to, and additionally, raise kids, stay healthy, travel the world, participate every year in South by Southwest. I mean, they've really built a nice life for themselves.
What do you hope people take from these stories? Not everybody necessarily thinks of themselves as a future entrepreneur, but what would you hope people get from reading these stories?
One of the major factors that's going to drive economic development and growth in this country going forward is starting new companies. New jobs come from new companies. That's where our growth will come from. That's where a return to prosperity, if there is one in sight, is going to originate. I think that the goal for me in this story was to show people what entrepreneurialism really is. It's not something mystical or magical. It's something that anyone can do. Even if it's not something you want to do, working in a small company or working in a new and growing company is a really fantastic experience. And even if that's not what you want to do, it's great if you can have a window into it. On the other hand, if you think you might be entrepreneurial, maybe when you look at some of these people, you see yourself a little bit.
Well, they're all really interesting stories. And John Ann Willow, thanks so much for sharing some of them with us.
Thanks for having me.
John Ann Willow's story, The New Entrepreneurs, How They Made Their Mark, is the cover story in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. There is a link to it from WUWM.com.
A quasi-Milwaukeean returned to his quasi-home back in December to talk about his recent memoir. We'll explain when Lake Effect returns in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.